A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's unrivaled Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, former Utah great Scott Mitchell, dealing with the news today that the Big Ten is moving to a conference-only schedule for all their sports in the fall. And I don't know if you know
it's
this,
kind
Scott,
of a,
but
a Big Ten light, you know, just taking a little bit of the, I don't know,
I know where you're
the sugar out of this thing.
I know you're wondering, you're asking yourself the same question I think a lot of people did. So is football in the fall? Is that affected by it? It's the only one that we're really worried about. When they say all their fall sports are going to conference only, football, of course, is the one that we are looking at and going, how does that affect where we're at here? Well, immediately, just with that decision, it's Michigan State not coming to Provo for BYU fans. And I think you should prep for a little bit more than just that. Joining us here on the program, he's the voice of the Utes, Bill Riley, on KSL's Unrivaled with us. Bill, how'd you take that news today? Not a shocker after yesterday's Ivy League news, too.
I talked to Mark Harlan yesterday. Hey, guys, by the way.
Hello.
Hey, Bill.
I had Utah Director of Athletics Mark Harlan on my show yesterday on 700, and you know, we were talking about scenarios, and, you know, I asked the question I always ask Mark, how optimistic are you? And Mark's been kind of like me, glass-ass, full guy, pretty optimistic, and I asked him about a full season. And he was a little tentative yesterday, to be very fair. And he's in on the big NCAA. He's on a big NCAA committee plus the Pac-12 stuff, too. And he basically said, you know, we're kind of, as it stands right now, we're kind of trending in the direction like we might be looking more seriously at an all-conference model. But Mark said, you know, it's probably still a few weeks away from decision time. Well, fast forward to today during my show again, when the news broke. Again, we haven't heard it from the Big Ten, but we've heard it from a bunch of reputable, you know, outlets that the Big Ten's going to go to an all-conference model. Well, here we go. This, I think, is the first domino. If one Power Five is going to it, the odds are the other Power Fives will too, especially the ones that play the nine conference games, like the Pac-12, like the Big Ten, and like the Big 12 do. Nothing is official, but it looks like we're trending in that direction, which, again, is not great when you like 12 games, but it's especially not great if you're not in a conference like BYU. So it's not unheard of, but it's not exactly the news I think we were looking for.
I'm curious, if they do go this way, so the Big Ten goes this way, do they gobble up those open weeks with more conference games and just play a whole, you know, I guess they could probably play a whole 12-game schedule, but like a conference like the Pac-12, could you pick up those two schools that you don't play in the other, you know, the other side of the division, and then you get 11 games? Do you think there's any discussion about that, or do they just go, you know, all your open dates are still open, and we're just going to play nine games?
Scott, it's all on the table. Mark Harlan told me yesterday they have three or four really firm models of conference-only play. So I think that you could look at 11 games, potentially. You could look at 10 games, potentially. You could look at nine and look at eight. I think everything from eight games to 11 games is probably on the table. Now, you want to play as many games as you want because that's revenue. But I think you have to look at start dates, because I think if you're going to a conference-only schedule, you're probably looking at the start of college football being pushed a little bit to give all these different markets. Because even within a conference footprint, the markets are different. Southern California, shoot, we've seen it here. our market has spiked. We're not as good as we were a month ago. Now, there's still time to dial it back. Everybody wears a mask and socially distances again. But I think that if you're looking at a conference-only schedule, that maybe you're pushing the start of the season back mid-September, late September. And then if you're doing that, it's going to be harder to play. Certainly, you're not playing 12 anymore. Could you play 11 still? Yeah, I think you might be able to. But maybe more logically, you're playing 10. So maybe you're adding one more game. And I think the other thing that people have talked about, and Mark alluded to this a little bit, are if you dial it back to conference only and you start a little bit later, you're probably going to have some flexible weekends in there to where if a particular market can't play at a particular week, maybe you flex the game to another weekend. So you leave yourself a little bit of wiggle room in there within your schedule depending on what happens. But I think you could look at anything from 11 to 8 games when it comes to the Pac-12.
Bill Riley, voice of the Utah Utes, joining us here in KSL's Unrivaled, and with the Big Ten announcing that they're going conference only. It does feel like it's just a matter of time till the rest of the conferences sort of follow suit. I know that everybody looks and sees what the Big Ten, it was either the Big Ten or the SEC. Those are the two that you look at and you go, okay, the Big Ten has such an East Coast influence and the SEC has the rest of the football influence when it comes to the football gods in this country. So then what? Because then the discussion was about a spring model, too. Has that been even thrown out there, too? Because then you're talking about guys who would just say, you know what? I'm not going to play anymore. I'm going straight to the NFL. Or guys that would never be able to play again because maybe obviously the NCAA would have to figure out their eligibility. It's a mess in the spring.
Yeah, I asked Mark about that. And Mark's exact words to me is, nothing is off the table. Which is, by the way, the smart way to approach things. You don't rule anything out.
Got to be fluid, yeah.
You have to. But the spring football model is the ultimate fail-safe plan when all else fails. I don't think it's realistic because, as you said, Alex, it creates another cavalcade of problems. First of all, we don't know that the infection rate is going to be any better, any worse, or the same in the spring. So if you push it there, you might be in the same boat. Then you're going, well, why did we push it to the spring? Secondly, you mentioned the athletes. Well, for the ones that are going to be seniors that are draft-eligible players, let's just use a guy like Trevor Lawrence as an example. Trevor Lawrence knows he's going to be a top-10 pick in next year's draft. Is Trevor Lawrence, if you get hurt in September or October, you can heal yourself. Even December, we saw Julian Blackman for Utah blow his knee out in early December. The Colts still drafted him in the third round. But if you get hurt in March, well, you're not going to be ready to play. Is somebody going to even draft you?
How about that? How about Utah?
I don't even see how you could play a college season in the spring.
Well, and how about this? No, if you've got a quarterback, contest at the University of Utah, and you're looking now, and you go, well, there's not really going to be one because what's the point of trying to figure that out for a half a season that's going to be going on or a three quarter season in the spring?
Jake Bentley might end up getting through, and then. Guys, then there's just the basic wear and tear.
Right.
Are you going to play 25 or 26 games
in 10 months?
In the span of 6 months?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care that these kids are 18 to 22 years old. That's too much. I mean, even at that level, the bodies of those kids, they need time to recover. So I just think, I don't know that spring football is realistic. I really don't.
What about fans? I mean, is there any, did you get any, just like any indication of, no fans, or is it they're still trying to, or is that just kind of a market-by-market situation?
I think it's good, Scott. I think it's going to be market-by-market. Yeah. But when I asked Mark again, he said they have three or four good plans, but that's the very last thing they have to worry about. I mean, that's a decision you could make in mid-August. You can make that decision 2 weeks before the season. They have to figure out first, when and how they're playing, and then they'll get the fans at some point in time. They've got a no fan, obviously, and then they've got two or three other. I think the one thing we know right now is full stadiums are probably a non-starter. I mean, we even saw the Ravens yesterday.
14,000 for the Ravens,
15,000 in a 65,000-seat stadium. So, and we've always heard all along that the college football is going to take at least some cues from the NFL. So I think that there's still a possibility for fans market by market. And you probably have to wear a mask when you go in, but that decision, You know, they're going to wait till the very last second. These other decisions have to come first.
So now we look at it. If Utah ends up going to a conference only, if the Pac-12 goes to a conference only schedule, then you're adding Oregon to the schedule. Who else? Because I know they weren't playing Oregon this year, but who else do you add to the schedule?
Stanford was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you pick those games up if you can do that. I mean, it's going to be a bit of a mess. You've got a, it's a big old jigsaw puzzle. I'm sure, you know, the powers that be in the league have been working on these models.
They got the computers working it out as to how it could work.
There's also the possibility of doubling down, doing a home and home with particular schools. If you can't fit everybody in at
right.
the same time, maybe you do a home and home with Arizona State. Somebody you play later in the season, maybe you can add them a little bit earlier in the season and do a potential home and home. I don't know if that's a possibility, but yeah, you got to look at all that stuff.
All right, Bill Riley, he's the voice of the Utah Utes football, basketball, of course, the voice of Real as well. So many things up in the air. We're going to keep calling you, Bill, and make sure that we can get some of this info as to how this is going to be handled if the Pac-12 comes out with any information. Thanks for being with us today, man.
Feel free to give me a call, guys. And I'm just, like I said, at this point in time, I'm just wearing my mask and keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, if we lose the rivalry game this year, it sucks. It really does.
Absolutely.
If we lose all 12 games. But at this point in time, I just want us to be able to call football games, whatever it is, 9, 10, 11, whatever it is, just to get our season in.
All right, Bill, we appreciate it. We're going to take the break here. We got more to go. Stay with us. Mitch Harper, insider for BYU Sports, of course, with us on KSLSports.com. He's going to join us next. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.